This morning's scripture reading is divided into two parts. The first scripture that I will be reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, and it is where Jesus teaches the crowd using the parable of the sower. Mark 4, 1 through 12. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd was gathered all around him and was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out in the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear him, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Our second scripture reading is also from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 13 through 20. And here Jesus explains the meaning of the parable of the sower. Mark 4, 13 through 20. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. But when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." This ends the reading of God's holy word.
As I begin this morning, I have to admit that I might be on somewhat of a slippery slope. My opening illustration is maybe not casting a very favorable light on another pastor or evangelist that I listen to, and who am I to be able to correct or make aspersions about him, but his teaching that day really spurred me on to consider this parable of the sower in a much deeper way. I also know that people have taken what I have shared and kind of taken it apart in different ways, and I know that I have misspoken at some times too. So it's kind of a slippery slope, but I hope that by the end we can gain strength from the parable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, I do thank you for the honor it is to preach your word here in the sanctuary. Lord, I pray that as people hear and listen, Lord, may there be a depth of understanding from your word, that we would seek the truth and know the truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It was a few months ago when I was out west visiting with my mother. I watched Sunday morning worship services on television, and I came across a ministry that evidently has a national audience because the ministry is based on the East Coast, but they were being aired in the Northwest region of the country. And I had not heard of this particular ministry before. As the preacher evangelist shared the lesson, I made notes, and I kept those notes for a sermon on the parable of the sower, a parable that obviously speaks of sowing seeds. My first note from that TV evangelist was that he was holding an apple and a knife, and as he talked, he cut the apple in half. I was going to do that and demonstrate, but I probably would cut through and cut my hand, and that wouldn't be any good. But he cut the apple in half to expose the core of the apple and the seeds of the apple. And then he offered a good quote. Seeds unsown don't do anything. Seeds unsown don't do anything. Seeds are meant to be planted in the ground to produce a crop, a bountiful crop of more fruits, of vegetables, of seeds. But this TV evangelist wasn't talking about plant seeds. The preacher evangelist went on to share that the spirit of debt is broken as people give to the Lord. The spirit of debt is broken as people give to the Lord. Now, as I heard that and I made that note, I can get out of debt not by paying the bank that has my mortgage on my home, but giving money to the Lord. Is that the way that works? Well, that's not what he was saying, and that's not what I'm saying, but the burden of debt, we can be free from that burden of debt as we trust in the Lord to provide, and we can't overreach our expenses compared to our income. So I still have to pay the bank. I'm in debt there. But that is part of the stewardship that God gives to us. The spirit of debt is broken as people give to the Lord. This is a little different lesson, and let me go on. He'd said that morning that he had a revelation from God. He shared that God had spoken to him that morning, and he was to ask for 120 people to each give $1,000 towards the ministry. And as they give those $1,000 gifts to the ministry, the spirit of debt in their heart would be broken as they gave to the Lord. Those $1,000 gifts would open a door of blessing for the givers. And so all that they need to do is trust God's call, trust God's prompting as he asked for those gifts, and share their seeds of money in the work of the kingdom. Now, later on, there was also a plea for people to share seeds through just a $58 donation, but I didn't catch all that he said about those smaller seeds or different kinds of seeds. The point of the lesson was, instead of holding on to the seeds, Christians are to plant their seeds with a clear understanding that these seeds refer to the money the Lord has blessed each of us with. And I wrestled with that and felt challenged by what I had heard, and hopefully I did some justice to my notes. I did some research on the internet on this ministry, and I came across this statement on their website. I have always believed Christians vote for or against God's work with their money. To disobey God's written or spoken word regarding seed is a vote against God's work. Every harvest God brings to us contains seed. That seed is to perpetuate God's work on the earth. Now, a person can and could spend quite a bit of time unpacking the content of that statement. And if you want me to send it to you, I can for further study. There is quite a bit of supportive information on the web and in faith books affirming some of the threads of thought conveyed through this statement. I just don't know how money is seen as how we vote on the work of the Lord. I'm just not used to equating the use of the word seed in the Bible with money. In my search of the New International Version of the Bible, the word seed or seeds occurs 88 times in the scriptures. And never once do they refer to money, But they talk about the seeds that we plant in the ground to grow trees and food for the next cycle of planting, to bear further fruit. As I thought about that, and as I thought about my notes and what I heard that morning, maybe it would have been more appropriate to study the parable known as the parable of the rich fool in relationship to the notes I jotted down from listening to the TV evangelist. I am not calling him a fool. That is the name of the parable in Luke chapter 12. It's that parable where the ground of a rich man produced a good crop, and he didn't have enough room in his barns to store his crop, so he thought, I will tear those barns down and build new ones so I can store my grain. And the point is, he's not sharing that grain, he's holding on to that. If you continue to read that parable, that night, God called that man to final accountability, and his greed got him nowhere. Jesus introduced that parable of the rich fool by saying in Luke 12, 15, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Greed can be present in the hearts of preachers and evangelists too. As I went onto that website, the thing that catches your eye is the flashing message. Give, text to give right here. It was all about what money, what seeds can you send to the kingdom of that ministry. That works for him. There's lots of response. I just don't approach the Christian faith or the Christian ministry from a financial perspective. I've learned to be faithful to the Lord, to trust in the Lord's provision, knowing that throughout all of my life, God has always provided. Far beyond just materialistic and financial, but he's provided for that too. God has been sufficient in his provision. And I believe God has been sufficient in his provision for St. John's Christian Church. In the parable of the sower, the seed does not represent money at all. For Mark 4:14 says, the farmer sows the word. The seed in the parable of the sower is the word of God. The word being the good news of Jesus Christ. And the focus of the parable is not so much on the seed itself, but upon the soils where the seed fell. Where the seed fell, those four different places which Jesus has already briefly explained for the disciples and for us as readers. Along the path, as soon as people hear the word, Satan comes along and takes away the word that was sown. The rocky places, people hear the word and they receive it with joy, but there's no root, there's no depth, there's no foundation. So when trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, because of the faith, they fall away. They quickly fall away. And among the thorns, people hear the word, but worries and deceitfulness of wealth and the desire of other things choke out the word, making it unfruitful. And then, of course, the fourth soil, good soil. People hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop. As we think of the four soil types, or the four types of places where the seed fell, we have to pay close attention to verse 15. Jesus said, some people are like seed along the path. Some people are like seed along the path. And then in verses 16 and 18 and 20, Jesus uses the word others to underscore that the soils, the four places the seed fell, they represent people. Those soils represent us. The four soils, the four locations, represents a person's heart. They can represent a person's mind. as to how they receive and or reject the seed, the word of God, when they hear it. The four soils, the four locations, could represent the condition of different people, or the four soils could represent the changing condition of one person's heart. And it's important to notice how each soil hears the word. All four soils heard the word. The soils, the people, they have that in common. Each have heard. The seed has been sown, the seed has fallen, and they've heard the word. So we hear, but the conditions, the situations, the distractions, the troubles, symbolized in the parable by the images of the birds and the sun and the thorns, representing Satan and trouble and persecution, worries and worldly focus. People hear the word, but that word can be forgotten, it can be ignored, it can be pushed aside. Still, other seed fell on good soil. The word came up, the word grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Jesus explains this point of the parable in verse 20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Last Sunday, in the lesson about Nicodemus and being born again, we explore the need for a person to be reborn spiritually, with believers sharing that truth with other people who might be asking questions of faith of them. To have spiritual conversations with people about being spiritually reborn, it's helpful to understand the condition of a person's heart. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul provides important instruction which goes hand in hand with the fruit of the parable of the sower. Paul is aware that there are Corinthian believers caught up in jealousy. They're caught up in quarreling about their leaders. Some follow Paul and some are following Apollos, and evidently they are arguing over which man, which leader is better. Paul instructs them to stop their arguing, to forsake the worldly ways of jealousy and envy. And Paul goes on to describe Apollos and himself as only servants through whom they came to believe. Servants doing the work as the Lord has assigned to each his task. And then Paul wrote a memorable line of teaching in verse 6. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. See, that's why the glory in the kingdom doesn't come to the people, to the disciples, to us, because God makes the seed grow, the glory goes to him. In 1 Corinthians verses 7 through 11, Paul writes about the process of spiritual growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. We don't receive the glory, but there is still purpose in what we do. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one of you should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. As we connect Paul's words of instruction with the words of instruction from that Jesus gave as recorded in the parable of the sower, we gain a greater understanding about our work as sowers of God's word. Number one, Christians who have heard the word and accepted it are to produce a good crop. We're supposed to be doing something with that crop. We are called and equipped to be sowers. In Ephesians 4, 11, 13, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. Works of service. You see where this is going? The sower's plant. We are supposed to be sowing the seed of God's word. God makes it grow. We plant, we water it. Works of service. It's biblical. It's scriptural. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God is going to make the seed grow, but God needs us to be planting and to be watering. In our sowing of God's word, it's helpful to know the condition of a person's soil. Is their heart like any of the first three types of soil? Being aware of such soil will help in determining what to say to that person or how best to say it. Remember, Paul planted, Apollos watered, God made it grow. We have to understand, we have to accept our role. As Paul and Apollos planted and watered, we have to plant and water. Building on the foundation laid by Jesus Christ himself, praying that God makes the seed grow in a person's heart. We cannot ignore our work in the kingdom to plant and to water, to sow God's word in the minds and hearts of people. In Mark 4, verses 1 through 8, those verses introduce and they share the parable. Verses 13 through 20 explain the parable. And in the middle, there are verses 9 through 12, some troubling verses. And we can't just overlook them. We have to look at verses 9 through 12. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Is that enough? We have heard the parable. We have heard. Is that enough? It wasn't for Paul. He had to go on and explain a little bit more about that instruction. And Jesus explains a little bit more here. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables." It's not just the 12. There are others that Jesus continues to instruct about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." Those on the outside. We're going to unpack that in a moment. "But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Those words that Jesus calls upon are from Isaiah chapter 6, right after Isaiah has said, "Here am I, send me." And then the Lord gives him these verses, and Jesus makes use of them. "The secret of the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God has drawn near in the person of Jesus Christ." For centuries, they had been looking for the Messiah. And now the Messiah is with them. It's no longer a secret. The truth is with them. And because of his word, that truth is with us. Jesus shared this truth with the disciples and with his followers. And through the parables, Jesus shared this truth with everyone. It's what Jesus came to proclaim. But only people who have faith really understand that Jesus is the Christ. To those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Those on the outside, those can be described as the people hardened by unbelief. Jesus is speaking of persistent unbelievers. So it comes after we unpack those four types of soil. It could represent different people, or it could represent one person in four different heart conditions that can change over time. To those on the outside, everything is said in parable. Those hardened by unbelief. To them, Jesus directs the thought expressed in Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, when the prophet, upon saying, "Here am I," God is preparing to send him out. And he's told, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." The parables were not always clear. They used simple concepts, but there's deep meaning in each of the parables. And so the disciples did not always understand. And so he taught in parables at times. Number one, so that his enemies might not be able to comprehend the full significance of his word and bring false accusations or charges against him. But he also taught in parables that by teaching in parables, Jesus invited his audience to penetrate below the surface and find the real meaning. I have studied the parable of the sower countless times in my life. I've taught it, I've preached it, I've acted it out. But it was only by the prompting, the leading of that TV preacher evangelist that I went below the surface and really began to look at the soils, at the heart conditions. And it's been a good study. And I pray that this message, this scripture, would challenge you once again to go home and look and see the truth of our need to plant and to water. We have heard and we have accepted. And now we have to plant and we have to water, trusting to God for the growth in the seeds that we sow. Praise be to God. Amen. It's interesting to be talking about seeds equating to money, and that's not where I went, but now we're going to talk about money. But not about relationship to that sermon, but about God's faithfulness and God providing for you. And part of our planting and watering is to share the glory of the kingdom with others. So now we have that time to offer our gifts to the Lord, that the kingdom, the seeds of the kingdom, might continue to be sown in people's hearts. I invite our ushers to come forward. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would bless these seeds, these offerings for the kingdom, your kingdom, that the ministries of this church, the ministries that we help support and enliven, that they would be a blessing to people that have heard and maybe rejected or turned aside. Lord, may we be persistent and faithful in our planting and in our watering to bring them peace and bring you glory. In Christ we pray, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 295, Revive Us Again. After the benediction, we'll sing the refrain of Set My Soul Afire, number 294.
As we go out to plant and to water, remember Psalm 138, verse 3, where God made David's heart bold and stout-hearted. I pray that our hearts, your hearts, will be bold and stout-hearted. In the love and grace of Jesus Christ, amen.